Sky Radio today, Gareth.
Hi, Annie. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Wow, like, I'm just reading all these things about you, and it's really tremendous. Like, you've accomplished so much in your young life, and it's so nice to see how compassionate you are. Really incredible. Do you want to talk a bit about yourself, and how did you get so involved in writing and recording music?
Yeah, well, thank you so much. Music has always been something that's been a part of my life, you know, since I was very little. Both of my parents are musicians. My mom is a singer, and my dad is a music therapist. And when I was little, I watched my dad work with people with traumatic brain injuries and use music to help heal them. And I gained a sense of what music really means at a young age. And I started playing drums when I was about four, and I studied classical piano, classical violin a few years later, but really didn't get into songwriting until I was about 12 years old. And when I was 12, I had a very dear friend of the family that was misdiagnosed with stage 1 endometrial cancer when it was only stage 4. So we really just had a chance to go and say goodbye to her at that point. And when I saw what her husband was going through and what her family was going through, I wanted to write a song from her husband's perspective to let her know it was okay to let go. And that song, called Move On, is really what got me started in songwriting. And that song is what let me know this is what I want to do with my life. And that's when my musical journey really began.
Wow, that's really incredible. It's so nice to hear of somebody with talent that is directed towards other people too, because I think a lot of musicians, it's the kind of thing where you get attention towards yourself, and it gets kind of, you know, it's very self-gratifying. But it's nice to hear that you're thinking about other people and giving other people something with your music. That's really incredible.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, music is a way to communicate. It breaks down barriers, and it's a platform. And, you know, how you choose to use that platform is what really matters. And if I can use the music that I do to help spread awareness through positive messages and to help reach people's lives, that's what it's really about. You know, that's what music is made for.
Mm-hmm. So how did you come about creating this anti-bullying program?
Well, when I was about 12 or 13 years old, I was facing a bully, and I didn't really know how to respond to it. And through the experience, I learned that there was nothing wrong with who I was, that there was actually things that the bully was struggling with. And that made me want to share what I learned with other kids that were going through the same thing. So I wrote a song called This Time, talking about how no matter what situation you're going through, whether it's a bully, a bad relationship, an addiction, whatever it is, you always have the choice to be able to rise above it. So I took that message into schools across North America, and I went in, I worked with their drama teams, with their drum groups, and helped put together a performance to show people just some interesting things that people might not know about bullying, some famous people that were bullied, and just talk about how they can get help and what to do if they or someone they know is facing a bully.
Wow. Good for you. That's really important. And it's so true, too, that the person who bullies is usually going through something themselves as well. It's something to keep in mind, definitely, even though it's difficult when you're going through it and somebody's teasing you and bullying you. It's not anything anything fun, definitely. Wow. Okay, well, you have so much going on for you. Let's talk a little bit about how you got involved with Nita Ryan and Thundering Hooves.
You know, it's actually, it's amazing how Nita and I connected. And when I was recording my first album, The Journey, when I was 14, I got a message from Nita, and we just talked very briefly, and she told me what she was doing, and I told her what I was doing, and it was, you know, both of us were the very beginning stages of our journeys with this. And somehow about, you know, 6 years later, we just miraculously reconnected online and started talking. And I had so much more going on with the music. She was doing such incredible things. And that's when she told me about Your Last Ride. and what she was doing with that. And I knew that I wanted to get involved with her at that point and just really do what I can do with my music to help her out, because her cause is just so amazing.
Yeah, it really is. So tell us more about it. You ended up writing the theme song, really, for the documentary. The documentary is Their Last Ride, and the song you wrote is called The Last Ride. Do you want to tell us more about the song?
Yeah, so the song is something that I wrote talking about the last ride that the horses face when they go by Nita Ryan's memorial fence going down to Presidio, Texas, which is where the horses are held in holding pens before they're shipped to slaughter across the Mexican border. And I wanted to write the song to give a glimpse of what these horses are thinking about, what might be running through their minds as they're facing this last leg of the road. Mm-hmm. And I feel very blessed that I was able to record the song at Muscle Shoals, Alabama, with one of the legendary Swampers, Will McFarland, as well as to work with the amazing producer Jimmy Nutt. And there's, for anyone that's ever been to Muscle Shoals, there's just this wonderful feeling that's there. There's this healing energy that comes out of the water, and it just shows itself through the music that these people do. So the song itself that I did, The Last Ride, being able to bring that down to Muscle Shoals, which has such a strong Trail of Tears presence, and to have that journey collide with the journey of the horses and come through with the music, with the Native American flute, with a powwow drum, just to have that energy combined, that just turned into be something really spiritual for me and something that I could really share for the horses.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds like a really incredible experience, and I've seen the music video, and it's fantastic. And for people who have seen the whole documentary, I know that they've said that the soundtrack, Anita has said too, that the soundtrack really gives so much emotion and ties everything together so beautifully.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, so seeing the horses and being involved in this project, I can imagine. I mean, the whole topic about horse slaughter is something that a lot of people are able to avoid, and especially seeing the horses themselves, a lot of people don't come in contact with these beings. I live in Canada, so we have horse slaughter here in Canada. I know in the U.S. it's illegal to slaughter horses for human consumption, but then that's the transportation towards that purpose that happens, and Mexico definitely doesn't have a humane treatment of horses, so... Thank you for getting involved in that project, right? And in the video as well, I've seen you're by the memorial fence that Nita has there, and it's very moving.
Yeah, that fence is just, it's really a really special monument to the horses that Nita's made. It's something that really pays tribute to their legacy and some of the horses that have already gone on that journey, and a reminder to the horses that they're not alone. And she wanted to say that, you know, there's somebody there that cares enough about the horses to do something. And that's, you know, Nita does that so well. She's just an amazing, amazing advocate for the horses. And she and Michael Acuna Rodriguez worked together so well on this film to really get such a powerful message out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It's for such a sad and tragic subject, the kind of people who are getting involved to create change and awareness, it's so powerful, and there's so much love that, you know, with time I can really see the changes happening for the benefit of all of us and the horses as well.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. And I was reading a little bit more about you here. Your latest project is Voices of the Guardians, and what's that all about?
So Voices of the Guardians is a project I've been working on now for about 4 years with my co-producer Lance Bendixson, who won an Emmy for some of his soundtrack work. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to take traditional Native American music, be it the flute, the drums, and the rhythms of Native American tribes, and to use that music against a symphony backdrop with some modern music, and to take the wisdom of Native American elders and have that brought to life through the music. So we ended up working on the CD, as I said, for about 4 years, and we went to Santa Fe, New Mexico during part of the recording, and we were blessed enough to work with the actor Jeff Studi from Dances with Wolves, Last of the Mohicans, Avatar, and Wes did a monologue over some of the songs in his native Cherokee language. So we were using the words from Chief Joseph, Morning Dove, and a lot of different Native American elders over this music, so that not only do you hear ancient music combined with modern music from George Lucas's Skywalker Symphony, but you also hear the words of the people spoken over the music. And that, to me, is something that was really powerful.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it. And it's been released? You've released the CD by now?
Yes, the CD is available. It's on my website, which is garethmusic.com, and you can find it also on voicesoftheguardians.com.
Wow. Well, congratulations on all of your awesome success and all of your experiences, and you're such a young person still, too. Like, how incredible. You should be really proud of yourself, and your mother should be very proud of you. You're doing great.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I've been very blessed to work with a lot of great people, and, you know, doing this project with Nita and with the coup, it was such an awesome experience. When I first got involved with Their Last Ride, I was going to do the theme song for the film, and I spoke with the coup, and he said, yeah, if you want to, you know, do a couple songs for the soundtrack, that would be great. And, so then when it started out, I was doing, you know, a couple songs, and that couple songs turned into a couple more and a couple more, and I ended up doing about 11 songs that I wrote, recorded, and engineered for the project. So it was definitely an awesome experience. I just felt like, you know, it got me so much more connected in the project, and then going down to Presidio after doing the music, it really hits home by how much these horses need protection, and they need more people like Nita in this film to really advocate for them.
Mm-hmm. And yourself also, because obviously the fact that, you know, you're putting words to their suffering and putting some emotion into your music that can really help people connect, because the subject is so difficult, and a lot of people, they kind of shut down and they don't want to think about it. It's kind of, and a lot of people say, there's nothing we can do, it's always going to be like this, you can't stop horse slaughter, and it's very naysayer dominated topic. And so it's really nice to speak with you, who's putting compassion before all of the fear that, you know, others would want us to just say, well, we can't do anything about it. But you are doing something about it, so thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, you bring up a really good point, too, about the compassion and how, you know, people, they think that they can't make a difference. And sometimes people don't even try because they think that just one person can't really step out of the crowd and actually bring about change. But there's a very good friend of mine that's a Penobscot elder, and he says that it just takes one drop of water in a pond to create a ripple that travels across the entire pond. So it doesn't matter if it's just one person or one small act that creates a ripple. And the more people that you have trying to bring about change, that's when you get a wave. They'll sweep across the world and really make that change. So people like Nita and the music that I'm doing with this, it's a start. But we need people to listen to it. We need people to watch the film. We need people to get involved. And that's when it'll really start gaining motion.
We're listening to Gareth Laffley, and now we're going to listen to some of his songs. First will be Still They Run, and then we're going to listen to a song called The Journey. And then we're going to listen to Spirit Horse. And last but not least, Flutitude.
Name like a fire. grace the earth.